W-D-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Favorite team plays on TNT, it's like a flip of a coin what you're going to get from the guys in the studio. You never know. You're excited if they talk positively about your team, and then if they don't, and the clips start to go viral of Charles or Kenny, mostly Charles, saying something about your team, you guys can get a little flagrant depending on what is said. The Rockets got the good end of that coin flip yesterday, Charles talking about Şengün and the Rockets overall. We'll get to that and the game against the Kings in a little bit. But the news, if you want to call that, coming out of Texans practice is that Joe Mixon did not practice. Now, that was surprising, but everything after that is he's going to play. Ian Rappaport had a report today, I believe, saying Joe Mixon has a real shot to play. Reporters on site, local reporters, after they didn't see Joe Mixon out there and the official injury report came out that he didn't practice, there's positivity about him playing. You got Azeez back at practice. Shaq Mason's back at practice. So a full practice for him yesterday. So there's a chance he starts if they want to go that route. We'll see what their offensive line makeup looks like on Saturday. So nothing really to be concerned about other than maybe your tight end situation. But that feels like a small concern. So everything should be good. The Chiefs are getting healthy. Jalen Watson, who would have been the starting corner before he went on IR in the back half of the year, he's back, it looks like. So they'll have their two best corners out there. They find some depth. And, of course, the guys that picked up Nixon along the way and had multiple, like about 3 weeks off, they're all going to be there. So as best as it can be, you're going to see both teams at full strength. Of course, we know about the season-ending stuff for the Texans. But, hey, here we are. We got one of those games that can kind of take the Texans from an interesting franchise to, oh, they're serious. They fell out of real contender talk as the season played out. You win this game, it changes the entire thought process about your franchise, about the team, and this team in particular. Those are kind of the stakes, you know, beyond having a chance to go win a Super Bowl if you win this one. And I know, small stuff, right? But you win this game, I think you're in an entirely different conversation about who you can be. Even if you lose a game to Baltimore or Buffalo in the next round, you beat Kansas City in Kansas City. You're no longer the team that's talked about, hey, they're interesting. It's like, oh, if you can go beat the Chiefs, you probably ascend to what the Bengals have been when they're healthy. Let's not forget, like the Bengals, no matter what's going on, it's always, well, they've got Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. We gotta consider them all the time. That's where the Texans, I think, would get to if they get a win on Saturday.
Yeah, the Bengals, I mean, they've had, what, now 2 years of
not make the playoffs, right?
Yes. One last year, Joe Burrow was hurt, so that kind of gets pushed aside.
Yeah. Browning.
This year,
missed the playoffs.
Great offense, but the defense let him down.
And they play a really close one where they really need Pittsburgh to kind of screw it up, and they get the win to end the season. And the immediate reaction is, oh, no one wants to see the Bengals. And after watching that game against the Steelers, I'm like, I don't know.
I think plenty would like to see the Bengals. Like,
I think the Bills are better than the Steelers. So
the Bengals on their best day can scare you, but
overall, they were a disappointing team that didn't deserve to make the playoffs all year. But the talk around them was, oh, don't want to see those guys. Do in the playoffs.
Based off what they did against Kansas City now,
in January 2022.
Several years ago now.
3 years ago.
Yeah, it still positions them as a team the Chiefs don't want to face.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are going to not try hard against the Broncos to keep the Bengals out of the playoffs, things like that. So the Texans will become that type of team that, hey, if they can go into Kansas City and win that game, you can't count them out. So that's where we are. Can they win that game? Sure. We've talked all week about the enormity of the challenge, and a lot of it's the historical aspect of beating the Chiefs. But as far as the game itself, we're going to hear from D'Amico about how they want to play, how they think they can move the ball offensively, and what they have to do. I tend to agree. I think you have to decide very early that we're going to, and of course, unfortunately, you don't have the weapons to do it, the quick passing game, spread the field, reduce the amount of times you're in these constricted formations, these tight formations where Spagnuolo can send blitzes. If you're going to send a corner or safety, let CJ be able to identify it, because you've got three wide out there. You're spreading that field, so it can easily be seen. We know that the line has issues with the front four running stunts. There was a big cornerback blitz from the short side that short-circuited a drive in that first Chiefs game. I think it was Williams, their corner, came off the edge. No one picked him up, and he ran CJ down for a sack. I imagine you're going to try to do the things you did when you got going against the Chargers. And I don't think that's a bad way to play it. And, of course, if Joe Mixon is right, that helps too. He has a real shot of playing. But does that mean he's going to be at 85-90%, or is he playing because it's the playoffs? He wasn't on the injury report. He got hurt in a practice on Wednesday and did not practice yesterday. So that's a little concerning. But right now, he's expected to play. So we'll see what he is when it comes down to it. So Texans, Chiefs, first game of the divisional round. Exciting. Right now, I don't have a sense of dread for some reason. You know, at some point you think about the team, any team you root for, and go, oh, we don't have a shot. Maybe some of you guys are always positive, but I'm excited Monday through Friday, and then Saturday, if it's college football, I'm like, oh no, what am I so excited about? This team can't win. Or Sunday, there's a realization that I've deluded myself all weekend to thinking this team can win. I'm not there yet. Maybe at 3 o'clock tomorrow, I'm like, it's the Chiefs in Kansas City. And all those guys can see their breath when they breathe. Are they winning this game? But right now, I feel like, don't turn the ball over. All the cliches have to happen.
Yeah.
Force some turnovers. Don't turn the ball over. Run the football. All the things we always say.
Don't be yourself.
Oh yeah, all that stuff. I think that's possible. It's still going to be difficult, but I don't think the Texans, the number that was set, is a fair representation of how close the teams are, but that's why they're going to play tomorrow.
Yeah, in regards to the spread, I think it's still 8, somewhere around there. I think, it's Kansas City by 8 right now. With how the Texans' defense is playing, I kind of have a hard time seeing them lose by 2 scores, or at least they could still lose by 10. That's not too crazy, as the difference between losing by 7 and 10 isn't a ton. But I just don't see really how Kansas City on offense runs away with it. So I think it will be a relatively close game, or at least the Texans will be in, you know, arm's length of Kansas City for most of it, just because that the two defensive ends that the Texans have, and the entire defensive front if they play anywhere close to as well as they played last week or through various points of the season, like these guys can't do it. The only thing holding me back from thinking it's a complete defensive takeover like it was last week is that the Texans defense does that at home at NRG Stadium. They really haven't done that to that level of effect where they're holding quarterbacks to the worst game of the season, one of the worst games of the career. They do those games at home. Yeah. On the road, it's a little different. And that's why I don't see them just absolutely messing up the Chiefs' offense. But I do think that they can slow it down at least enough to give C.J. Stroud plenty of drives, plenty of chances to score against the Kansas City D.
Part of the conversation yesterday was the Chiefs' inability at wide receiver to beat the Texans because the Texans like to play a lot of man. Like, the Chiefs' wide receivers did not just beat the Texans man-on-man, my guy's better than you type stuff. It was using what you would call picks, and of course, they do it well enough that they don't get called for them, just creating a little disruption in the coverage to get a guy free. Which, clearly, if you can handle it, it gives you a better opportunity, but the Chiefs are experts in that. So if you have any concern, I would have the confidence to know, like, you're not just going to beat Lassiter and Stingley with DeAndre and Hollywood Brown and whoever and Mecole Hardman, whoever, and obviously Xavier Worthy, whoever else they throw out there. It won't just be, okay, line up against our guy, we're going to win this. It'll be tricks, it'll be misdirection. And how many of those plays do you got in your back? Do you have enough to run away from the Texans? I don't think so. But we did see the Texans get beat by that, so that has to be cleaned up. The Chiefs are well practiced in doing things like that and getting a guy wide open when you didn't expect it to happen. You're going to see a lot of the shallow crosses early, particularly if you're in third and medium. You're going to see a lot of that. Just run a fast guy across the field, create some clutter, and force one of your guys to get over all that clutter to get to him. So clearly, stay out of third and shorts where those plays don't even come into the equation, so where it's just drop back and see if you can win a one-on-one, which I think the Texans have a real chance of doing. And that's one of the paths to victory outside of the obvious, create turnovers. We'll hear from DeMeco Ryans when we come back. He talks about how the Texans are going to play offense and seems like a sound plan. We'll see how well they can execute it when they get up to Kansas City and get in those elements where apparently the feels like temperature will be about 10 degrees. 10 degrees. I asked this question earlier. Who's out to get the Texans? All week in Kansas City is about 40 plus degrees. Tomorrow it drops to 25 degrees.
It's just
the weather.
That's just how it is. Well, I was going to say it's just the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Chiefs
that
devil
voodoo
magic.
That devil magic. And thankfully, it's not a Sunday game because the high is 14 degrees on Sunday. So
See? Lucky. So Texans are lucky.
A little luck there to play on Saturday against the number one seed and the team trying to win their third straight Super Bowl. So we will get into the game plan for the Texans when we come back. If you want to get in, you can. 713-780-3776. We'll get into the Rockets. I mentioned early that they're on TNT. A really good ball game that they fell short on. And we'll ask the question, when is a foul not a foul? Because if we're talking about the Dylan Brooks play on De'Aaron Fox, a little ticky-tack. Rocket fans are certainly upset. There was contact, but we'll get into it when we come back. Get in, 713-780-3776.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Kane is in the building there.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll get to what happened in Sacramento after this, but let's hear from DeMeco Ryans. How will the Texans attack this Chiefs defense, which is already good, but turns it up in the playoffs? DeMeco Ryans on the way they'll play offense tomorrow in Kansas City?
Offensively, we just have to continue to play efficient. And when it comes to the quick passing, right, getting the ball out, getting completions, allowing our playmakers to make plays, that's part of being efficient. And that helped us last week. It'll also be a key this week as well. Not only the quick passing game, but also running the football. You want to play well in the playoffs, you have to run the ball well. So both of those will be key for us. And CJ's just commanding the offense, right? We know it's going to be loud. We know it's going to be rowdy there. So we have to be great with our communication. Everybody has to be very attentive in the huddle, making sure we're getting in and out of the huddle fast to make sure we're operating efficiently all the way across the board. When we do that, we're a really good offense.
They're a defensive football team, and there have been stretches in games where they're a really good offense, but as far as full game performances, they're not many. I don't think you would classify the Texans as a really good offense. I think you have a talented quarterback, a great wide receiver, and a resurgent running back. But your inconsistency with the offensive line, whether it be injury or performance, keeps you from being a really good offense. How many times have we said that about them this year? They've played great offensively. I know by this show standard, we don't play Shred 'em Shroud very much.
No,
so,
I mean, it's against the Cowboys, against the Patriots.
Games that, those are awful football teams.
Exactly.
And the Cowboys were banged up defensively, and they were getting used to not having their starting quarterback, so we don't really count that. Of course, the Patriots are terrible. So those are two. But the Bills' first half, and that started early with the Nico Collins touchdown, and of course he gets hurt. But they were up 20-3, I think, or was it 17-3, and they scored a field goal to start the second half. So, but that's the issue. Stretches of games, not consistent. And to expect great play on offense on the road in the playoff game throughout, probably asking too much. But can we get offensive football tomorrow? I don't know. I think not turning it over is my standard. If you don't turn the ball over, I'll take it. If you don't give the Chiefs extra possessions, if you don't give them an opportunity to steal a possession and score on a short field, put your defense in a bad position, I will take it. You know what? Tommy Townsend's got a punt. He's got a punt. It's not a win, but it ain't a loss on drives. Make the Chiefs go 65, 70 yards. And they're capable, but the avalanche starts.
Yeah,
if there's a fumble, like pretty much if you play like you did against the Chargers early, wrap it up.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they cannot wait a quarter and a half to show up like they did.
But even the turnovers, the Mechie to begin the game, the CJ bad pick where you're down
6-0.
Yeah, because
you're down 14-0.
Yeah, we can't do that. Can't do that.
I think that I agree with you that punting isn't like the worst thing in the world in this game. I will say I would like to avoid the 3-and-out, 4-and-out kind of drives where you get one first down and then you're punting anyway. Like I mean, this is very cliched playoff football talk, but also like this is very true with the two defenses that are going to be on the field. Never mind the two offenses for these two teams that are going to be on the field. It's like the field position is really going to matter because driving against both of these defenses for a sustained 60-yard drive, 75-yard drive, that's going to be hard. That's going to be difficult. You can't give the Chiefs the ball at their own 40 or at midfield and expect to come away on top.
And it's a small grading thing for me, but I am interested to see how this team plays in the elements in this type of environment, because the history of football tells you teams who go from climate controlled or warm environments, sometimes you don't recognize a team that you've watched all year when they go up in a game like this. I use the word flippantly, like the cold makes cowards of even the toughest football players when they aren't used to the conditions. Will we see the same type of attacking mindset on defense, the willingness to tackle second quarter, third quarter because of the elements? If we see that, if we don't see any, I don't want to say backing away, if we see the same type of physicality, then that's a credit to the Texans, because that's not always the case in these games. particularly if it's not going well and you're down 10-0, or maybe it's 13-3, things aren't going your way, some of that willingness to hit and make plays in those conditions starts to wane. So tackling, I think we should pay attention to quite a bit. Even beyond, the cold's making them not physical. Tackling in the cold can be a problem for teams who aren't used to it. Let's see it. Let's see early. I think that'll be a clue about the defense. Beyond getting pressure on Patrick Mahomes, avoiding all the Chiefs' tricks to get guys open, if the tackling is there early, I think that's an indicator of where this team's head is at when it comes to playing this game. So maybe we find out on that first offensive drive for the Chiefs. If guys are getting down on the ground quickly, that lets you know that Texas defense is ready to go. The Rockets in a less impactful game, but certainly an entertaining one last night. They went up to Sacramento, second night of a back-to-back, and were down for most of it, but fought back and eventually took a lead. The Kings wind up winning that game. I mean, it's not groundbreaking, but the Rockets offense is hampered quite a bit if they have to keep taking the ball out of the basket. The Kings' ability to knock down shots, beyond the obvious, if you score points, you have a chance to win. It kept the Rockets from getting out and running. There was an example late in the game where the Kings missed a long three. Trey Lyles, one of their bench guys, went for an offensive rebound, but Jalen Green had position to grab it. Jalen Green immediately had the basketball, went up the court. Trey Lyles, who really didn't have a shot at that, put himself in a bad position, put his defense in a bad position, and wound up in a Dylan Brooks. It was either Dylan Brooks or Kent Whitmore. I think it might have been a Dylan Brooks open three. I think it brought the Rockets.
It was Dylan Brooks.
I think it brought the Rockets within one on the play because Jalen Green avoided Trey Lyles, got by another guy, and you know, someone's got to protect the paint, so Dylan Brooks was wide open. Their early transition offense, their ability to get buckets early in the shot clock, played a part in their run and to come back, and that run started because they started getting stops. That's how they play, and you got to give them a lot of credit for fighting back when it would have been an easy thing to go, okay, we beat Denver. This Kings team's knocking down shots. We'll just put this one in our back pocket and go, hey, not our night. But they tried to make it their night. It wound up with a Jalen Green three to tie. He did miss it. He was rightfully upset. Still had a great game. Started off slow, but wound up with 28 points, knocked down a big three in that game to get them. I think that was to get them within 1-2 late in the game. So his run continues. A more normal night, although he did shoot 50% from the floor and from three, so that continues. He just didn't go off for like 34 and three quarters like he was doing against the Nuggets the night before.
Yeah, it's not shooting 60 or 70% from the floor.
It was still ridiculous.
It's like more normal.
But a normal night. But the run continues for him. The Rockets, unfortunately, take the L in that one. And the play that people will point to, the Rockets were down by one. The Kings had the ball on an inbounds. Oh, I need to mention this. He doesn't get a lot of credit for his defense, but Alperen Şengün late in that game was really good defensively.
Yeah. He had a three defensive possession stretch that was block, steal, steal. And then they all led to buckets.
Yeah.
Sacramento went on an 8-0 run. Those blocks and steals led the Rockets to an 8-0 run. So hats off to Alperen Şengün.
When the Rockets Şengün account or just a Rockets account goes, oh, you think he can't play defense? That compilation will be there for people who will push back on the claims that he's not a great defender. He's not a great defender, but he had a great three-possession stretch where he made play after play to keep the Rockets in it. So I didn't want to forget about him. But the play, the controversial play, if you want to call it that, was an inbounds, about 27 seconds to go. Dylan Brooks pressuring De'Aaron Fox as someone, I think it was Malik Monk, trying to get the ball into him. He does grab De'Aaron Fox's elbow. It throws De'Aaron Fox off balance. Dylan Brooks shoots, if you want to call the gap, or he shoots ahead of De'Aaron Fox and steals the ball. Referees blow the whistle. Now, if you're a Kings fan, you're going to go, yeah, he grabbed him. He impeded his ability to get to that basketball. If you're a Rockets fan, you're going to say, contact like that happens all the time. You can't blow your whistle there. I'm sure the NBA two-minute report will come out and say that was a correct call. I don't think we're going to see anything that says the refs miss that call. But you just like for that not to get called.
Yeah, I mean, there's just no way to play like a press defense and like
without
making
doing contact.
That.
Yeah.
So that's really the thing, and especially with how much time it was like 27 seconds,
point whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's just one that again, the 2-minute report's going to back it up because by the letter of the law there is contact there, but it's I mean, what are we doing, guys? Calling that like again every single press play like. The guys are going to start by touching each other, and then one guy's going to run away from them.
And they're not going to immediately let go. Look,
yeah.
If we're being real, it was an awful pass by Malik Monk. That was a terrible inbound.
I think that's why it's like especially bad, because it is like such a bailout to poor execution by Sacramento.
De'Aaron Fox wasn't breaking away, and there's a great pass, and he stumbles because Dylan Brooks grabs him. That ball probably would have been it was a chance that ball gets picked off. You're looking at the angle without De'Aaron Fox stumbling. Like if there's just more minimal contact and you don't see a grab, and that pass was not a good one. Dylan Brooks likely would have still been in position to take that.
Brooks didn't even really need to like fully extend on where he shoots the gap to pick it off. Like it looked like it was thrown to Brooks more than Fox.
It was a bad inbound. The Kings got away with it, and they eventually – well, credit to them for knocking down their free throws. And then, as I said, a nice ATO for the Rockets. Probably if I'm the Kings, considering the way Jalen Green's shooting the basketball, I'm fouling Alpi when he is the hub and he has the ball and he's going to set a screen on the handoff. He hasn't been great from the free throw line. In fact, I think he did miss one late.
Yeah.
It was pointed out by Stan Van Gundy, I think. That Alpi has struggled recently from the free throw line. I think he's about 60% or so. And just watching the games, you've seen in moments where he's missed free throws late in ball games. So that was another one. I would have fouled him. I'm not giving the way Jalen Green shooting the basketball that opportunity.
And he got an open look.
He did.
The whole thing with fouling up three is that you want to make sure that you're not giving up, you know, that you go for the foul and the guy's facing the basket so he can shoot it and it's a shooting foul. Alperen Sengun standing there for 2.5 seconds with his back to the basket, holding the ball out, like just wrap up. I don't know. I don't know why you wouldn't foul there. That's the perfect situation to foul there, especially like you said, with a guy who's been shooting the lights out for the last 7 games, coming off a curl, who's going to be wide open to shoot it. Like I just wouldn't put the game in the balance like that. But
yeah,
it worked out for him because it still is like. A 40% shot.
But the way he had been shooting, particularly the last 2.5 quarters.
Like 75.
Yes, and we saw the reaction from Jalen Green. He certainly thought it was going in. And I thought, considering the look he got and the way he's been playing, I thought it was going in too. But they don't get the win. And Doug Christie, the interim coach there, what is he, like 8-2? I think he's like 8-2 now since he took over from Mike Brown. Interesting watching the coaching world react to Mike Brown being fired. Spo talked about it. Michael Malone, the Nuggets coach, ripped he ripped the Kings. He has experience getting fired by the Kings.
Yeah.
So he took his shot at them and pretty much was, that's because they're clowns. And, of course, Doug Christie's 80% of his – he's winning 80% of his games in his first 10. So I'm not ever going to say maybe the Kings know more than Spo or Michael Malone. They are the Kings for a reason, but – maybe they knew that it was not connecting, and they've played faster under Doug Christie. He's played Keon Ellis more, who knocked down a couple shots against the Rockets. So they were going up against a hot team, and they lost a close one. But a lot of credit should be given to that Rockets team for the way they played all year long and the way they just ignored the typical, it's the second night of back-to-back. You came from Denver. You didn't have a lot of sleep. Hey, you're down by 11 in the third quarter. Forget about it. This is one we'll give to the Kings, not the Rockets, and they almost got it done, but they do drop that one. Okay, we'll hear from Charles Barkley when we come back. He talked about the Rockets, and he talked about Alperen Sengun. It piggybacks a conversation we've been having about they're the 2 seed in the West. Shouldn't they have an all-star? Despite you start to look around the West, who's the obvious All-star, at least the all-star taken off the team to put the Rocket on the team. Well, Charles Barkley has a thought on which Rocket should make the all-star team. We'll hear from him when we come back. But first, I want to talk about MyBookie. You want to put some money down on the next Rocket game? You can. Just go to MyBookie.ag to do that. Maybe you feel like that number in the Texans game is too much. Or maybe you think it's not enough. You might have a dim view of the Texans' chances. Whatever it might be, MyBookie allows you to do it. I say whatever for a reason, because they let you bet on anything, whether it be international soccer, the college football playoff final, the NBA, the NFL. It's all there for you at MyBookie. Tennis. If you know more about tennis than you think the book does, it's there for you too. And, of course, they have that live casino option too. And yesterday was risk-free betting. That's Thursdays where they provide a bet. You put some money down on that bet, and if you win, you keep your money. And if you lose, it doesn't cost you anything. So take advantage of that. They have a 50% match up to $1,000 right now. Just go sign up. Use that promo code BET975 and start taking advantage of what MyBookie provides, from sports betting to their live casino option, whether you want to play cards, roulette, poker, blackjack. It's all there for you at MyBookie. MyBookie.ag is a website. You can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Okay, in an effort to get back close to on time, we will save what Charles Barkley said for our next segment. Yesterday, I started the show trying to figure out why Paul would send the both of us a text asking to look out for Texans personnel because they're going to show up here. It turns out it wasn't a player or a coach, which we kind of figured out. It wasn't a cheerleader, which felt the most unlikely. I don't think the cheerleaders visit places anymore, like stations. And they used to do that all the time. They used to say, hey, would you like to talk to at Kristen HTC? She'll come in, take some pictures with the people here, and promote whatever the Texans need to promote. They have stopped doing that. They stopped that probably a while ago, at least with us. Maybe the cheerleaders still make visits. It turns out someone from the Texans brought treats in a Texans-branded box. Mm-hmm. There were Rice Krispie treats. That's the mystery solved. It was Rice Krispie treats.
And some sort of frosted Oreo concoction.
Was there like a flyer or some copy notes that Paul had to read? They just brought treats?
Yeah, and a hat and a t-shirt.
I knew someone was getting a hat.
Yeah.
But only one hat.
That, to my knowledge, only one hat.
So Paul somehow maneuvered his... Somehow talked to the right person where he got treats from the Texans and a hat and a t-shirt for one person? Was it enough Rice Krispie treats to feed more than one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I think the Killer Bees... I had some, so... That's two. No. And then I think the Killer Bees.
Were they homemade, or do you think they came from a store?
They seemed homemade. Okay. Again, they're both like frosted. I think it's because of the white out
they're wearing all
jerseys
white
that they're doing, so they gave all white treats, if I'm trying to reach to connect these.
So it was a Rice Krispie treats, which is close to white, whatever you want to call that color. Yeah.
Well, they were also like frosted.
Okay. Yeah. Did it have like a Texans logo on the treat?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, fondant or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So there it is. Mostly just for someone to get a treat and a shirt and a hat. That's what happened.
They're good. They're really good.
I imagine they would be.
So
I was blamed.
Because of that, I'm picking the Texans to win.
Convinced by the food. I was blamed for not saving a treat for someone who came in later than day. I was like, I didn't get one. What are you talking about getting you one? I said, hey, if you want a Rice Krispie treat so bad, just go to Bucky's. Those are pretty good too. They got like three different varieties at a minimum. I guess it might depend on which Bucky's you go to, the giant ones or the regular ones. Yeah. You can go get yourself a Rice Krispie treat. Don't ask me to save you one.
I saved myself one for later.
All right.
Then I had one at home.
If you're out there listening, blame Sean.
You didn't tell me either.
Yeah. Didn't tell me either.
Oh, okay.
No one saved me one.
Please.
I was here. I think I took off before they actually came down the hall. So that's what that is.
Yeah.
I'm out of energy, so I can't make those calls, but maybe I need to look into getting this show some treats at some point. Hey, you guys want to come down and give us treats?
Put our name on whatever list you have dropping off treats.
Yeah, if you're dropping off hats or t-shirts, just put us on the list. We think you possibly could win tomorrow. Isn't that enough?
Huh?
Huh?
Cover.
Isn't that enough of an enticement to give us stuff for free?
We think you're going to cover in the divisional round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on, man. I would prefer, as opposed to a Rice Krispie treat, what's the dessert of choice? I'm not a cake guy.
Brownies?
Pie feels like too much. Yeah, brownies. Brownies. Texans frosted brownies. Bring it on.
Get on it.
Not too Texans. Much to ask. Whoever bakes your goods to send out to the media members, get on that. Give me a brownie.
Now it feels like a shakedown.
Now I'm demanding.
Yeah.
Hey.
Now I hope they make the AFC title game just to see if what we get.
Yeah.
Or if they're like, F these guys. Yeah.
Who are you guys? Cut it out.
Nothing.
Cut it out. Yeah, they don't have to give us anything. We just like for you to. All right, we'll come back with the Charles Barkley stuff. He was very complimentary of the Rockets. And as I said, NBA on TNT, it's always a flip of the coin of how they're going to treat your team. And last night, it was all positive, at least in this clip from Charles Barkley. Before we get to that, let's talk about Monument Chevrolet. If you're looking for a car and a great car buying experience, that's the place you go. You check out what they have on monumentchevrolet.com, and then you see all the great cars in person. Whether you want a new car or a pre-owned car or something for your business, they have a giant fleet, sixth largest fleet dealership in the country. Inventory is a wide variety of them. No matter what you want, they got it out there for you. And they've been in business for 50 years. They finished celebrating their 50th anniversary last year. But because of what they love to do for the customers, they're extending the deals across the inventory until January 31st. So if you're looking for a car, new, pre-owned, they're going to have deals for those cars up to January 31st. So check it out. And of course, if you're in a pre-owned, they have a warranty that kind of puts aside all those concerns you might have about, oh, it's somebody else has had this car before. Is it going to be okay? They have a 6,000-mile, 6-month warranty to just to give you a little peace of mind if you're out there looking for a pre-owned vehicle. And if you do go out there, just go out. It's in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. It's a big lot. I was out there a couple days ago to film some stuff for them. And they do a great job meeting the customers and understanding that car buying can be a little treacherous. You're not sure what you're doing. They'll walk you through the process. They're very friendly. They're going to treat you like family. And maybe you will meet William. He is their salesperson of the week, but all their salespeople are great. They will get you through the car buying process as quickly and as efficiently as possible. The website, monumentchevrolet.com, check it out, and then head on out there and get the vehicle, a great vehicle of your choice. And remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Some news that isn't surprising before we get to what Charles Barkley said, but it is NBA related. Not surprising, but if you like wishing all the bad things in the world to happen to Philadelphia, well, it's going to be a good day for you. Joel Embiid, he's going to take the next 10 days off to be reevaluated for knee swelling. You're going to just pack up the season, Joel Embiid. Now, they have a pick that's top six protected, but it will convey to the Thunder, because the Thunder own everybody's picks. If they miss the playoffs, which seems a real likelihood, particularly if this Joel Embiid thing turns into, you know what, Joel, we're done. Just pack it up. Season's over for you. So he's been out, you know, and sometimes he plays, sometimes he doesn't. Now they're going to extend his evaluation period. It's just a disaster. Disaster for franchise. And they got like 3 max players on their roster, and they rarely play together at the same time. And that's Daryl Morey's doing.
I mean, still, if you only have 2 max players, it's like, can you be in the play-in in the East? Can we do that?
With
Tyrese or Tyrese Maxey and Paul George?
Not the way they played.
No.
You would think in the East you could find your way to the play-in.
Be better than the Bulls, please.
Perhaps not pay. Not that the Clippers ever make great decisions, but perhaps not pay Paul George what they're paying. Now you're stuck. Now you're stuck, and Tyrese Maxey, good player, but has proven, at least right now, that he isn't a guy who you can lean on and win half your games with if he's your best player.
They are 11th in the East right now.
So one spot out, but how many games out?
two games behind the Bulls, holding down the 10th spot, as is tradition.
So they could make the play-in, and the Bulls are a team likely, at least in some people's eyes, to dump players. They're still looking to get out of LaVine, who's actually playing really well, but they don't want that salary on their books for years if they're just going to be bad anyway.
Talking about knees swelling, getting really reevaluated in 7 days.
He's a guy who you think the knee is going to bother him at any point, but he's been able to play well this year. Vucevic is a guy they want to get rid of too. So the Bulls could go in full-on tank mode, but he's so bad it might not matter, particularly if the Sixers are going to be a team who is without Embiid. You can expect the Paul George absence at some point. So, yeah, going poorly for Daryl Morey. Some of you may rejoice in that. Some of you may still like him. Just the facts right now. Before we go, let's get to a guy who used to criticize the Daryl Morey Rockets quite a bit, Charles Barkley. He said earlier this year the Rockets don't know how to play basketball. They just get by on talent. I think it might have been the game where Amen Thompson tossed Tyler Hero around. He might have said it.
No,
which game was that?
It was the quarterfinal NBA Cup game against the Warriors.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they won.
Because the tossing of Tyler Hero was a game that was not nationally broadcast,
yeah,
right?
Okay. Yeah, that was like New Year's Eve or something.
Okay,
yeah.
So he has said less than positive things about the Rockets, but last night, as TNT had the game, Rockets-Kings, very positive about the Rockets. And who does he think their all-star should be? Well, Charles will tell you.
Because we got the Rockets and the Kings. The Rockets have the second best record in the Western Conference.
They are really balling right now.
Good, you go with it.
Yeah, Ime Udoka is doing a fabulous job. Listen, it's going to be interesting.
And by the way, shout out Raphael Stone, their GM.
Oh, yes. That's what I was going to shout out.
Because they have built this team through the draft.
Yeah, well, so the interesting question is going to be Afferen Sengun. Mm-hmm. Is he going to be an all-star or not? He's going
to
be.
Does he have to be? Be an all-star, just making it.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
I would put him on the all-star team because, you know, we always talk about we got to reward winning. And he's the best player on the team with the second best record in the West. Man, this guy got some feet work, as Shaq would say. He's a poor man's Kevin McHale.
Who did it best? Or worse, depending on how you feel about things. Did he say Alferin Sengun?
I think so. I think he made him Alf.
Alferin Sengun or Dennis Scott's Sengwini? Which one would you lean into? I know which is funnier to me, but which one would you go, hey, you are doing a poor job of learning this young star's name? Sengwini?
And with that intensity, can you give our viewers how much fun it is to play with Sengwini, the big fella, the way he shares the ball? Can you take us in?
He thinks he's Italian.
He works every day. How much fun playing with Sengwini?
I think that's a nickname. So the Barkley thing is worse because Barkley's just trying to say his name.
It's also funny to be like, this guy has to be an all-star. What's his name? Alferin
Sengun. The Rockets getting an all-star is about team success. Now they have good young players. We know. Jalen Green's having a great month. But numbers-wise, at least leading up until maybe the last month and a half, Alperen wasn't having a great year. Certainly wasn't having an all-star year. He's picked it up, certainly. I think it's going to be tough to get one. They're playing great. We know the voting isn't going to go their way, but coaches will decide the rest. Will they pay deference to the second best team in the West and just hand them an all-star? I wonder. There's not like there's this sad sack case of a 30-year-old really good player for the Rockets who's never been an all-star that's screwed in years past, so they're going to give them one. This is a couple. They could go, you guys are young. Next year we'll get you one.
Yeah.
So I wonder if team success will lead to, I won't say undeserving, but a guy whose numbers don't stack up with someone else. Maybe.
Yeah, a guy getting a nod that, like, you know, Afferen Sengun getting the nod over someone who you would think, like, no, that guy should be an all-star, but he's on the 10th seed or something.
It'll be interesting to see because that's a very good basketball team who is solidly the 2 seed. Yeah. Even if it wasn't the 2, just having a team in the top 4 of the standings and not sending someone to that game, I'm not going to do any record keeping. I'm not going to look back in history and see how often it's happened. But it feels like it's not a likely scenario.
The Hawks in like 2015.
They got like four.
Sent four. They sent Damari freaking Carroll and Kyle Korver to the All-Star game. Yeah. Like, I get it. That's the East.
But also because of the story, how surprising the Hawks were. And let's be fun and send all their guys.
It's a team. See, this is teamwork. I'll send all these Paul Millsap, Jeff Teague to the All-Star game.
I think Paul Millsap might have made another All-Star game.
Yeah, Millsap actually was good enough to make an All-Star.
But the rest of those guys,
the
was
other
that their
four guys that
was
made
that their
the All-Star
only
team?
Time making the All-Star team?
Oh, and Horford. Horford and Millsap.
Horford was good enough to make another one. But the rest, we're just having some fun here. Eastern Conference isn't great. Let's get the Hawks an All-Star game appearance. 2015 is the year we're talking about here.
I think what it comes down to is, like, do the Suns get two guys? Do the Warriors get two guys, being the 10th and 11th seed? Like,
who would be? They can't send Draymond to the All-Star game. For what? What's he done?
Balled out.
No.
He's one of the best players in NBA history.
This year?
History. Yes. Top 75 list.
Fine.
Shingun wasn't on the top 75 list.
That's very true. One check mark in Draymond's favor.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, half these, you know, is Luka Doncic going to actually play in the All-Star game? That opens up a spot.
And has he missed enough games where it's reasonable for the coaches not to put him on the list?
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of the unspoken part, is that there's going to be probably...
I don't want injury replacements, because that's a real shot. Who's going to make the team outright? Like, we think are the coaches going to be like, yes, Shingun or Green, you're on the All-Star team no matter what injuries take place, because we think you are one of the top 12? Is it 12?
Yes, 12. So I have nine that
locks
go. Shea, Morant, Jokic, LeBron, AD, Luka, Edwards.
They're not leaving KD out.
KD. Oh, actually, there's more than Booker, Steph, Victor. That's 11.
That's 11. So there's one spot.
And I don't know if they have wild cards and stuff, so they can positionally, no one should get left off because of the position they play.
You mentioned the wild card
spot. Yeah, I guess it comes down to, like, Bane, Jackson, Harden from the Clippers.
Harden hadn't shot the ball well, but
there's a five seed. Like,
yeah, that there's a chance.
Does Sack get, you know, does Fox or Sabonis get in?
I think if we're talking about a guy keeping a Rocket off, particularly if we're talking wild cards, it might be James, which is a bit ironic. He's not shooting the ball. He's shooting under 40%.
Then VanVleet's got a shot.
Well, if shooting percentages don't matter, then yeah. And VanVleet is the starting point guard on a much better team.
Yeah, four games better.
And they have dominated the Clippers this year. But star power. We'll see.
Yeah, Kyrie could also make it. I'm just looking at guys I didn't say on these teams. Like, Kyrie could take a spot.
I think it'll be tough, but the campaign is at least beginning. You got a prominent voice on the biggest show in the NBA saying a Rocket should make it. And in his eyes, at least Charles Barkley's eyes, that is Alperen Şengün. So that's nice to hear. And hopefully they do get a representative, because who cares about James Harden in the All-Star game? Anybody still looking for that?
It'll raise the competitive nature of the All-Star game.
Yes, that's when we think of competitive nature, we think of James Harden. Let's go, Şengün. New blood, right? We got to eventually transition to
Hey, I just easily put Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and
all these 30-plus years old.
And none of them are above, like, the 7th seed.
But we know how the game is played.
Yeah, obviously. They're all going to be starters.
We need a new generation of stars, or pseudo-stars right now, if you want to talk about Şengün and Green.
Yeah, guys on the way up.
Yeah, we need one of those guys, and why not pick one of the players from one of the best and fun teams in the NBA, the Houston Rockets. So that's off in the future. We'll see. We'll come back with more. We're done with hour one. We'll be joined by Michael Carroll at about 11:30. He'll tell you what you should or shouldn't watch. He's the host of Comicast. He does that with Zhang Li. And it's a big week for trailers, particularly if you like a violent blind man who runs through New York kicking people's asses. And the thing with that is, the question was, moving from Netflix, would Daredevil still have the same level of violence? And if we're going by the trailer, Disney Plus is like, hey, if you're I forgot what his nickname is beyond being Daredevil. If you want to beat up Wilson Fisk or street level criminals, break their bones, draw blood, we welcome you. Yeah, we're the home of Skeleton Crew. Sure, that kiddie Star Wars show. But if we want out and out murders, we got that too. Look at Disney Plus. I imagine it'll be under the tag where. I don't know how they're going to describe it, but this is very violent.
For mature audiences.
This is very violent. It's mature audiences. Just be aware, the blind superhero is going to debilitate a lot of people in this show if you watch it.
He's going to pop some ACLs.
Yes. Some guys won't be the same after running into, I think it's a demon of Fleet Street? I forgot what his second title is. Oh, well, I'll figure it out. But Michael Carroll will talk about that in about 25 minutes. So we're done with hour one. We'll get to hour two. When we come back, if you want to get in, 713-780-3776. But first, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And right now, it's the playoffs. We've been talking Texans. We've been talking – well, actually, we haven't really talked much about the other games. But there will be other games going on. That I can guarantee you. Buffalo and Baltimore, Detroit, Tampa – or Detroit, Washington, Rams – Eagles. So whichever of these games catch your fancy, gotta lean on something. You think, hey, you know what? I think this guy's going to score a touchdown, and I think that Jalen Hurts is going to throw for under his yardage. You can do that on Prize Picks. They have NBA, NFL, college football. They have darts, I've seen. They have esports, whatever you're into, hockey. Disrespectful of me to mention hockey after esports, I know. But they have even first half and first quarter projections for the NFL playoffs. So you can, if you think that Kaimi Fairbairn or Harrison Butker, are they going to make at least a field goal in the first quarter? I kind of like that. You can do that on Prize Picks. And today also Flex Friday, so you get a free flex lineup for up to $20. So it is pretty risk-free if you get in today. What you're going to do, download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even need to win to get that money. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.